Today's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 to 4. To the elders among you I appeal, as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Or could I say to some of my friends, the only Cantonese I know, Josan, Josan? Pastor Genghis taught me that when I worked with him in Edmonton. It's good to be back with you today and to worship and to consider God's word for us in our lives as we navigate this very peculiar, unique season that we are living through and living in these days. And it's always good for us to ponder and reflect on what God may say to us in our hearts. When I was 14 years old, the church that I went to in Regina, Faith Baptist Church, had a boys' club. Every Tuesday night, we would gather at the church to play sports in the church basement. We played floor hockey and tag and a very rough game called British Bulldog. And even we tried other sports like baseball. That didn't go so well down in the church basement. And soccer. And we looked forward to that. And then at the end of the time of playing sports together, our leaders would teach us from the scriptures and talk to us about our spiritual lives and how we can grow and pray with us. And it was a very meaningful time in my life. As I was thinking and developing and growing as a young man in church, one of the things that we did that we weren't supposed to do is us boys would come to the church early, before the leaders got to the church, because we knew where a key was hidden, so we could open the door and go downstairs and have more time to play. So it was supposed to start at 7 o'clock, and we would all come at 6:30, and we'd find the key that was hidden inside the mailbox, and we'd open the door, and we would play games in there with no leaders or no supervision. Well, it just so happened when one evening we were playing soccer in the church basement and somebody kicked the soccer ball too hard and put a hole in the wall. And just as that was happening, wouldn't you know it, one of the deacons of the church who was responsible to look after the church building and keep it looking good happened to be coming down the stairs just as the ball hit the wall and made this hole. And he stood there and he looked around and we were all standing there kind of like, uh-oh. And in a very stern voice, he looked at me and said, "Who's in charge here?" I didn't know what to say. He says, "Where's the leaders? Who's in charge? Who's making this safe here? Who's responsible?" And I was staring at the hole in the wall, shaking in my boots. And you know, that was the first time as a young man, I started to think about leadership and what it meant to to be in charge or to lead something. I'd never really thought about that before. And it dawned on me, here we were, all us boys playing together. There was no leader. There was no one kind of supervising. And it just got me thinking about leadership. That terrible day, 9/11, one of the big questions that happened was in regards to the President of the United States, because for about 6 hours, nobody knew where the President was. Some people said he had fled the country. Other people said that he was in Colorado in a bunker. Some people said he was flying around in Air Force One. Nobody knew where the President was for about 6 hours. And the question that got asked over and over and over again is, where's our leader? We're all leaders in some capacity in life. If you take your dog for a walk, either the dog is leading you or you're leading it. Ruth and I go for walks every morning, my wife and I, and we can see people walking their dogs in the area where we live. And it's interesting to see who's in charge. And some people, the dogs are walking right beside the people and the leash is relaxed, and others are, dog is just pulling them all over, and we just avoid those ones, you know. The great teacher on leadership, John Maxwell, said, everyone is leader because everyone influences someone else. And as followers of Jesus, we are all called to spiritual leadership. Jesus said, all of us are to be influencers of other people. We are to be like salt, like light. We are supposed to make a difference in the lives of other people. We all have an influence in other people, so all of us are called to spiritual leadership. I want to take some time to talk about what spiritual leadership really is, what it looks like, how it works in our lives. And I'm very nervous right now as I introduce this topic, that many of us will say, oh, he's talking about leadership. That's not for me. This sermon doesn't apply for me. You might even say, why did I come to church today if that's what they're going to talk about? I'm not a leader. I'm not in charge. I'm not responsible. I don't have a position. And I'm very nervous that you're just going to kind of say, he's talking to somebody else instead of me. We're all leaders in some capacity. Even if the only person we're leading is ourselves, even then, we are still called to spiritual leadership. So I would like to appeal to you to be open to consider and ponder what this is all about. And for some, to ponder what God might be saying to us about where our leadership capacities may take us down the road. Even to the point of some of us saying, I think God's calling me to a level of spiritual leadership in Christian ministry. And sometimes we're not open to all of that. I know as a young man, I certainly was not, and God really had to work in my heart to get me to the place of being open to be in pastoral work. But I just pray that we'd be open to what does God call us to be in influencing ourselves, other people, and who knows? I know many people who are in leadership who said, I never thought I would be at this level of leadership, but we're all called to be leaders. So let's take a good hard look at the terms spiritual and leadership today. And I'm going to rattle through these. I'm going to go fast. So if you think I'm talking too fast about these things, actually no, you're listening too slow. So are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. First of all, what does spiritual mean? We use that word in church all the time. What does the word spiritual mean? We talk about this, you know, somebody is very spiritual, or how's your spiritual life? Or that was a very spiritual experience. What does it actually mean to be spiritual according to scripture? Well, it starts with what Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a man who was seeking after God and wondering about it. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, I tell you the truth, unless a person is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. Jesus is saying there is a spiritual life that comes alive inside of us because we are spiritual beings. We are made up of flesh and blood and body, but we are also made up of soul and spirit. And there is something inside of us that makes us us, that gives life to our body. There's a spiritual dimension to us. And Jesus is saying that this spiritual person who lives within us can have a new life, a new identity that has as its core the ongoing experience of knowing and hearing and sensing the Spirit of Jesus dwelling within us. This is both a fact when we come to faith in Christ and embrace Him and repent of our sins and ask Him to forgiveness and ask Jesus to come into our lives, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit in a moment of time. And then it's an ongoing experience of a spiritual relationship between ourselves and God. And at times it's very intense and we're very profound, and other times it seems more vague and distant. But there is a spiritual life that we all have. The great chapter, Romans chapter 8, talks about the fact that we as children of God cry out because the Holy Spirit lives within us, Abba, Father, and that we are adopted into God's family through His Spirit. And God's Spirit lives and dwells within us. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives within me. So the spiritual part of life, the spiritual life grows through the process of discovery and surrender to God's purposes for my life. That's what spiritual is about. God's purposes made alive within me. My life, the ongoing cycle of discovery, understanding, surrender, and action and obedience. That's the spiritual journey. We come alive spiritually. We discover what God wants. We try and understand it and apply it into our lives and follow it. And then we discover, as going through that cycle once, there's more. And God continually reveals and teaches us more and more and more. And that never ends all through life. Interesting to think about this. Our bodies get older and older, but our spirits are eternal. They do not age. They can continue, even in spite of the physical aging process, to continue to grow and be renewed and stay alive, even though the physical body may start to wear out over time. I like what it says in John chapter 14 about this. Jesus said, in this process of discovering and obeying and understanding, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you a counselor who will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Whoever obeys my commands, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. There's an experience of knowing Christ in our lives, in an ongoing process. If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of what I have said. This whole journey of being spiritual is first of all becoming spiritually alive and then engaging in this journey of learning, discovering, understanding, and obeying and doing the things that God has for us in our lives. That ongoing cycle of discovery, surrender to the purposes of God is the spiritual journey, and it goes throughout our whole lives. And a local church exists to help people discover, to understand, and it nurtures and teaches people how to apply spiritual truth into their lives. That's the spiritual aspect of anyone's life in Christ. So with that as a background, then let's talk about leadership. What does leadership mean based on what the Bible says? We've got five qualities of spiritual leadership to consider. I Googled the word leadership, the first page, 850 different definitions. My word. One person wrote, leadership is the process of persuasion or example by which an individual or a team convinces people to pursue objectives that are held by the group. President Dwight Eisenhower, who was a general in World War II and then became president of the United States, said the following. A very interesting definition of leadership. Leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because they want to do it. Oswald Sanders, who wrote probably one of the best books on spiritual leadership. If you want to read and explore spiritual leadership in depth, Oswald Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership, is a great book to read. It's not an easy read. It's tough. You got to work through it chapter by chapter, but it is powerful and helpful. It says leadership is influence, simply the ability of one person to influence another. In fact, I think when we use the word leadership as Christians, we should just change the word from leadership to influence, spiritual influence. In one form or another, leadership is about taking people somewhere. It has a purpose, a goal, a motive. So when we talk about spiritual leadership, we need to understand what that looks like and how that works, because we're all leaders. If no one else, we're leading ourselves and maybe other people, influencing. First thing about spiritual leadership, it's spiritual in its nature. It's leadership that's not just simply about human ability, human capacity. It's derived from the experience of being led by the Holy Spirit. It starts with me entering into a relationship where the Holy Spirit leads me and teaches me and influences my life into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And then out of that experience and abundance, the abundant life Christ promised us, I make a difference in the lives of others and influence them. For leaders to lead together spiritually means that when a group of leaders leads, first and foremost is the passionate discovery of surrender to the purposes of God. Spiritual leaders relentlessly study and learn from the numerous examples of spiritual leadership we find in Scripture, and there are so many. The Bible is an interesting manual on leadership. One of the ways to read the Bible to bring it alive again is just to look on every story you can find throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, about people who are in leadership and what they did and what they didn't do. And there's some fantastic, amazing stories of success, and there's also some powerful stories of failure, and we can learn from them all. Spiritual leadership is spiritual in its purposes. Spiritual leadership is not interested in its own purposes and influence. It's interested in God's purposes, what God wants in the lives of leaders. I like what Henry and Richard Blackaby say about this. Spiritual leadership is moving on to God's agenda. The spiritual leader's task is to take people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Influence. Spiritual leadership is not only about how we lead, but it's about committing ourselves to lead people, encourage people, inspire people to the purposes that God has for us all in our lives. Spiritual leadership is spiritual in the use of power. And that's where our text was today from 1 Peter. Peter was writing to elders, people in charge of leadership, and he says to them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not as because you must, but because you are willing. God wants you to be willing, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And notice this, the use of power, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. At the core of spiritual leadership is God's design for the use of power, always to be used to serve others. First and foremost, God's purposes are that when we are influencing other people, it's to serve them and care for them and look after them and shepherd them, as opposed to lord over an authority. The acid test of spiritual integrity is what we do when we are given power. Have you ever been in a situation where with co-workers, somebody who's a friend and a colleague gets promoted and they're given a position of authority above you? And all of a sudden, it's like, what happened to them? They're like a different person, telling everybody what to do and yelling at people to get going and, you know, using their power and authority to, you know, get their own way. And it's like, wow, give that person a little bit of power. And all of a sudden we see something that comes out in their lives that we didn't see before. Spiritual leadership, when given power, uses that power to serve and not to demand. I like what A.W. Tozer, a tremendous writer about the spiritual life, said about leadership. This resonates with me deeply. A true and safe leader is likely to be one who has no desire to lead, but is put into that position of leadership by the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit and the need of the external situation they find themselves in. It can be accepted as a fairly reliable rule of thumb that the person who is ambitious to lead is most likely disqualified as a leader. Wow, that's an interesting statement. And you know, there are so many great examples of great leaders who started their leadership journey in Scripture from a place of deep, deep reluctance. They didn't want to do it. God pushed them into it. They said, not me, send somebody else. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Nehemiah, Elijah, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Timothy are just some of the examples of people who were reluctant. And it's great to study these stories and learn how they learned to lead relying on the Holy Spirit and not with power. Spiritual leadership is spiritual in its influence. True spiritual leadership leaves an impact on other people. It motivates them. It encourages them, inspires them. It's more caught than taught. It inherently earns respect, even sometimes when unpopular decisions have to be made. Spiritual leaders tend to have followers even when they don't want them or are trying to have them. They are people that others gravitate to and want to be around. They want to learn from them. They just feel something about being with other people like that who make them feel more confident, more comfortable. There's some kind of chemistry that goes on when people are spiritually influential, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I was at a pastor's conference once, and a pastor who is very well known in North America was speaking. And he asked us the question, what do you want them to write on your gravestone? When your life is over, what do you want them to say? And the inscription. And most of us, I don't think, have ever pondered that question. And I don't think most of us like to ponder that question. He says, I know what I want in mind. You want to hear what it is? Okay. He said, here's what you can put on mine. At least he tried. At least he tried. Spiritual leadership says, Lord, I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes to be influential for other people, but I will make myself available to you and let you do your work in me and through me. Spiritual leadership seeks by the grace of God to leave an imprint on others that is lasting. Last one, spiritual leadership is spiritual in its process. Spiritual leadership is disciplined. Spiritual leaders know how they're going to work and how they're going to work together, and they agree on values that will shape their lives, and it's disciplined in its work. Spiritual leadership is disciplined in speech. Spiritual leadership is careful about what is said and is not said. Spiritual leadership works decently and in good order, continually seeking God for how to make a difference in the lives of other people. The Bible says a lot about how we talk to one another and the words we use. Maybe one of the hardest verses in the whole New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3. Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only words that are good for building one another up, that it may serve the needs of people who hear them. Spiritual leadership engages in prayer and accountability, confession, and seeking scripture. Spiritual leadership has a conviction and a belief that God will speak and ultimately work through our lives, collectively and individually, for the good of other people. I think sometimes the best thing a leader can do is just to be that steady, calming, confident presence, saying, no matter what's going on, God is here. He loves us. He cares for us. He will look after us. He will see us through. Let's trust in him. Let's believe in the work of the Holy Spirit and not get all wrought up about everything. Sometimes it's that one calm person who just brings the temperature down, says things in a gracious way, and helps the group or the individual who's distraught to see things in a fresh and hopeful light. Here's the question I'd like us all to ponder for a moment this morning as I wind this message up. Where am I at in my journey of leadership, of influence? Where am I at in my influence on my own life? How do I influence myself for the purposes of God in dependence on the Holy Spirit? Where am I at in how I influence other people? Am I even interested in that? Do I even care? Do I see that God can use me, no matter who I am and what status I have or position I have, to make a difference in the lives of other people by my attitude, by my words, by my faith? Am I open to God developing leadership qualities within me that I may not even know are there? Here's a question that gets asked from time to time by a mentor of mine. Jerry, if you stay on the path you are now in your spiritual life, where will you be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Where is the path you're on going to take you if you stay on it as you are? Are you open to what God wants to do and where he wants to take you in your life to make a difference for him? The call to us all is to be leaders and influencers who care, who serve, who are not interested in just our personal gain and what makes us comfortable, who do not abuse power when we're given it, but instead who are beautiful examples and influential by our attitude, our words, our actions in the lives of other people, and we make a difference for good. I would like to offer a prayer for us to ponder this morning as we think about this call that the Holy Spirit places on all of us to be an influence on ourselves and others. I'm going to read the prayer through one time and ask you to ponder it. And then I'm going to read the prayer a second time. You may want to pray that prayer along with me, or you may say, just hang on a sec. I'm not ready to pray that prayer. I need to think about it more. That's fine. But my hope, my dream for every local church is that God raises up every person to be an influence for good in his purposes and in this world. Here's the prayer. Just open your minds to what this says and ponder whether you might want to pray along with me. I'm going to read it through one time so you know what it is, and then I'm going to offer it as a prayer. We can pray together if you like. Dear Lord, I understand today that you have called me to make a difference in the world for your glory. You've called me to be an influence for good, for the gospel. I confess I often feel inadequate, afraid, uncertain. I do not see myself as a leader. But here I am, and I offer up my life to you. And I ask that you equip and teach me to lead and influence in whatever way fits with who you have made me to be. Lord, I also ask that you would teach me to be a good follower of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for the amazing example you are to us all. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a moment just to ponder that prayer. It's really a prayer of surrender to God's purposes in us and through us. I'm going to read it a second time now, and perhaps this is a time you want to pray it along with me. I'm going to read it a sentence at a time. If you want to repeat that sentence after me out loud, fine. If you want to pray it in your heart, fine. If you want to ponder further, fine as well. Dear Lord, you have called me to make a difference in the world for your glory. You have called me to be an influence for good, for the gospel. I confess I often feel inadequate, afraid, and uncertain. I do not see myself as a spiritual leader. But here I am, and I offer my life up to you. I ask that you equip and teach me to lead. To lead in whatever way fits with who you have made me to be. I ask that I would be a good follower of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the amazing example you are to us all. Amen. Words from Scripture to ponder about how we live our lives. The hole in the wall at the Baptist Church in Regina got fixed. The deacon who came down and got after us, gathered us together and taught us boys how to repair drywall. And we did the work. And we came home covered with drywall dust from sanding. You know, when we came down those stairs, we saw that wall. We said, we fixed that wall. And the boys said, let's not do that again, if possible. And the man who had asked the question, who's in charge, showed by example what it meant to lead for good. I never forgot that experience. And it was part of what God used to shape my life, to be open to the idea of influencing others as a youth pastor way back in 1975. And God has been good. And I praise him and give glory to him for how faithful he is in our lives, even though we often feel inadequate and don't know what to say or do. God can use us all for his glory. Amen.